on 1st of August 1938 when we came, we didn't go to Mehrabad because Mehrabad was under construction. You remember, you must have noticed the tower there that says August 1938 at Mehrabad. It did get completed in August, but it was not on the 1st of August. We were called on 1st of August 1938.
About a month ago.
Yeah, so we spent a month here, you see. There's a bungalow in between Mehrazad and Mehrabad. There is that bungalow called the irrigation bungalow. Now it's called the rest house. A huge property, you see. So behind that, Baba and we all lived. Sarosh and Adi and Adi's brother and father and all that. It's a government bungalow meant for first-class gazetted officers, you see, to stay in. Office bungalow, yes, it is. Still now there is an office. Yeah. So we were staying there. We never went to our... Mother never went to her ancestral home, you see, parents' place. We went to Baba and we were made to stay there. So then when the place was ready to receive the people there, Baba then took us there to Mehrabad with him. And the women, that means my two sisters and mother, stayed with the women up the hill, and my father and myself and Mehrwan, my youngest my brother, we stayed down the hill, you know, in that room where it is now, that cabin which has the cross and the crescent and all that.
Yeah.
That was given to us first. Yeah. So we stayed in that room. Three of us stayed in that room. And that room was used as a meeting place when in the morning we had to roll up everything, you see, and clear, make it tidy, and Baba would come and sit there. So that's how we stayed there. Then my father was told to go back to Nagpur. And he was told not to resign, then he was told to take long leave, preparatory to retirement, premature retirement. There were two more years, you see, for him to retire. So then my father was sent back by Baba, says, no, you should continue. Now that you have come to me, I order you now. You will be working for me now. So go back and resume your service. And poor fellow, you see, the old man, having lost the whole estate, he had to find a little cottage and stay there. And then I was sent back to find a cottage for him and house him there. And then to make him stay there, he stayed there all alone for a long period. He joined service, he resumed his services there. And, he did his job there. And then when he retired, he came to Baba. And we were in Bangalore when he retired. He came to Baba and then he served and he was there. And then how is it that my mother is now in Pune? You might ask that, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So it's not only Pune. You see, you have no idea. It's so simple when people say that, well, the God-man has told a certain family, leave all and follow me. It's so simple. It is simple, there's no doubt, provided you don't put the question why and what. And therefore, this life has become so simple because we never put that question why and why, wherefore. So when we came to him, then it so happened that he took us on, my father was sent back to Nagpur for 2 years. Baba started this blue bus trip, you see, in 1938-39. And we went on a tour. I was driving this blue bus. Elizabeth drove, Donkin drove and all that. Donkin came in 1939, by the way, later on. So, I was in charge of it. So 1 year we roamed about in this. There, Baba said, what you should do is, when we went to Jabalpur, Baba said, what you do now, tells my mother and my sisters and my brother. My father was housed in Nagpur. My mother and my sisters were dropped at Baba Lover's place. He says, you stay here and see that Mehrwan gets education. He is put in a school. He was in a school, he was put... school was disrupted, schooling was disrupted, he was put in another school. So my mother and my sisters now have to establish another house, and they are made to stay there, and my brother gets an education there,
in Jabalpur.
And I come with Baba now. I am with Baba all alone. I roam about with Baba, wander about with Baba. And my father writes to me, says, I am all alone here. And then he writes, and my mother comforts my father, saying that you are not all alone, we are just doing what Baba wants us to do. And then I pacify and comfort both of them, saying that, well, it's all that. And then again my mother and my brother and sister again are taken by Baba, you see. And again we go out on a tour, you see, and on a long tour. And Baba calls them to Mehrabad, and then again on a tour. And my father comes during holidays. And then we tour, and then we go to Dehradun, you see, North India. And then Baba tells us, that is my mother and us means the family, says that this is a good place for Mehrwan to have education. So I find a house there in Dehradun, you see, and get established there, you see, there. And then he studies there in the school there for some months. He says, no, I think it is better that you all again wind up the house, you see, and come to me with Mehrabad. So we go again to Mehrabad, you see. And then again Baba wants to go out, so we all again go out. And then eventually it so happens that Baba says now he's going to establish his center in Bangalore. You know, you have heard of that Universal Spiritual Center? A huge property was bought and selected by Norina and Nadine and all that. And so my father retires, and it's a long story. It's a huge property, 500 acres, you see. So that's another chapter in Baba's life, you see, a ministry, that Universal Spiritual Center. So you ask Adi in Adi's office, you see, he has got so many sketches of the whole process, you see, of the whole thing. Well, so we went to Bangalore. Baba says, now we are winding up all from Mehrabad and we go to Bangalore. So we go to Bangalore. In the process, it's now time for my father to retire. So my father is given charge, you see, of the construction work of the center, along with other engineer Baba lovers. Narnavas and Nariman's uncle. Arnavas's father was an engineer, civil engineer, by the way. There was another civil engineer, a Baba disciple, by name Kale Mama. And my father was an mechanical and electrical engineer. So all this put together, you see, they were given the different charges and all that. And the whole of Bangalore was invited for the, what do you call that, the foundation ceremony and all that. You see, oh, it's a big affair, you see. And then after that work started, and we stayed, Baba and the women stayed in the bungalow called the Lynx, and we stayed in Four Palace bungalow and all that. And Baba established that little mast ashram there in the Lynx itself, you see. And I don't know whether you remember the story I told you about my prestige, how we were staying in the Lynx, a very posh locality, you see. And I was in charge of the mast ashram. So in the beginning I used to drive Baba in car, a good car. Elizabeth's car was there, the Ford new car and all that. So sometimes I would be always with Baba, you see. My mother and my sisters and all were with Baba at the time. My father was also with Baba. Everything was happy and rosy now. And I used to drive the car, drive Baba and all that to and fro. And there, in front of us, we were staying on Palace Road, you see, near the palace of Maharaja of Mysore. It belonged to the brother of the Maharaja of Mysore, that bungalow. So as soon as we get out of the, opposite us was a huge place, bungalow, of a chromium mine magnetist. You know, chromium mines are there, and a very wealthy person. So he had two guards on one gate, two guards on either post, you see, guarding the whole property with gun and all. So they would at once come, get up and salute me, you see, as soon as I get out in car or drive Baba in or alone or anything like that. So, well, I felt very happy about it and proud that, well, my status is still maintained, although I have left the world, you see. So this came into my mind one day. And then soon after that, Baba established the mast ashram in Bangalore. Wayfarers is full of our tours, you see, and filling in the mast ashram, going south, bringing Chetty Baba and Fulwala and all that. The high type of musts were brought there, you see, our tours in the south. So One day when I was in charge of the place, you see, Baba told me that now there are lots of inmates and the latrine cans, the old type, you see, we have to draw out the dishes, so to say, and empty them and put them back when the dishes are full. So what happened? Baba one day told me that there are so many inmates and these boxes are not enough, you see. You should immediately get some more, a couple of them more, you see. I said, it will take some time. I said, no time, no question now. You go and get it. What I thought immediately was, immediately means immediate love. My mother had taught me all those things. And I was just a newcomer, you see. And I said, well, we must obey the master. So I jumped the wall of that building, you see. And then I crossed the road and ran into Four Palace Road. It took only 2 minutes for me to do that. Instead of my going all the way in a car and all that. Why should I take the car? And I went to our quarters, servants' quarters there. They had surplus tins, you see. They were all dripping with shit, you see. I drew them both together and brought them. As soon as I went inside the compound, the man got up and saluted me, you see. Although I was on foot, the guards. When I came out of the compound with the two dripping tins of shit, you see, like that. So they wanted to get up, but when they saw it, they just sat down and looked at each other. I could notice that, you see. I said, that's the thing, you see. What makes you get up? Not the man. Nothing of the sort, you see. When you see this, the man is no more there, you see. So, you see how, what's all this, you see? It's just a farce, that's what I felt. That was the first lesson I got, you see. So I didn't mind that. I just ran the distance, ran across the road, jumped over the wall, and there, the two tins are there. Baba was so happy. How did you manage it? He asked me. I said, well, I went there and jumped over the wall and got it. You wanted it immediately, it's there. So that's how we had to serve Baba, you see, like that. And it went on and on and on. Then Baba said, now it's time that Baba wanted to leave Bangalore, you see, and go away from there. So what about the mere spiritual center and all that? It so happened the war got declared, you see, the First World War, and the military acquired the whole area. Military pounced upon the area, you see, because it was there, it was near a big lake and all that. And they gave us a handsome rent for it. Compensation was there. And Baba said, all right, now we can't go against the military. It was wartime. So what happened was that was a good excuse for Baba to leave Bangalore. And we got back to Mehrabad again. So before leaving, Baba said, why not select a place over here for Mehrwan and others, you see. And then in the meantime, Baidul's daughter came. She also, Baidul brought his family from Iran then. So his daughter was also to be put in school and all. So Mehrwan, Sarwar, and Mehru's sister was now ripe for a change in school and all that. Mehru has another sister. She's a doctor now. She's in Africa. Baidul's daughter is now married to a very well-known person in Bombay. She's there. So what happened is that all of the three children will go to school, and my mother can look after them, and my sisters are there. So why not have a house? So Baba and I went out in search of... Baba, the God-man, goes out in Bangalore in search of a house where he can house my family. So we go out and find a good place there. Baba liked it, and there is the opening ceremony and all that, and Baba put them there, and then we left again. You see, leaving all and following him means so many things. Now you have asked me this question, then the whole life comes in. So then we go. I again go to Baba, to Mehrabad. Then Baba tells me to bring all the musts from there. So we reserve compartments and bring the musts there to Mehrabad. The whole complement is going there now to Mehrabad. On the hill where Kekobad lives now, you have seen the Kekobad quarters. Formerly it was a maternity hospital there, you see, and there are little structures, temples, they are all demolished. So this place now, where Kekobad lives as it is, was converted into the must quarters for the high must, like Chetty Baba, Fulwala, from Calcutta, Karim Baba and all that. And from Hussain, there was that dancing must, you see, all the time he would dance. So I forget the names also. So I became the man in charge of this place now. And I continued, my mother and my sisters are there. And my father is in Bangalore trying to wind up the whole thing, you see. Now he has to sell the property to the people, you see. They make into plots and sell the whole property. And many things happened like that. And then we continued. Then it so happened that the war broke out and war flared up. And Adi's office was also in Bangalore. Adi didn't want to come back. Adi said, now what's the sense of coming back? Meher Baba journal is being run, it's being published from there, we have given the addresses and it's going on. You know that Meher Baba journal was, it has, yeah. So Adi said, no, he had his office at, which place is that? It's called some place. So he had his office. So, well, Adi Baba said, all right, you stay here and Gayamaya, means my mother's children, will be here also. So they continued to stay there. But war broke out, and it so happened that Japan started bombarding the coasts, the southern coasts, you see, of India. So Adi said that now they were coming closer and closer to India. So he sent a wire. We were, my mother and my brother and sisters, they were happy because they didn't care where they stayed, provided they were under Baba's orders, that's all. So in reply, Baba sent a cable saying that, come immediately. Return to Mehrabad. So again, I was sent back for dismantling the whole show, you see. It's just like changing the scenes, you see, of the in the drama. So I went there and wound up the whole show, you see, and arranged to bring them back. That's how we brought. Then as soon as my mother came here, my Baba's mother fell in love with my mother. So says, Mero, I am now very old. And then my father said, one day said, Baba, what is this all the time shifting these poor, my father called us sheep. Said, what is this flock of sheep is being shunted from one place to another, you see, all the time disrupting the education of little Mehrwan and all that. And when will they feel settled anywhere? Baba says, everything will be perfect for them, no worry, nothing. In the meantime, my father said that it would be best if this were to settle in Pune. That's a nice place. It's a central place. For him to say this and Baba's mother to fall in love with my mother's company, you see, it happened, you see. And my Baba said that Baba's mother insisted that my mother should be there in Pune with her, because she's now getting old and there's nobody to look after her, and I like Gaya means my mother's name is Gaya, so I want her company. So Baba then called us aside from my father, says, look here, we'll have to play some trick, you see. These old people, what I want you to do is you go to Pune, don't unpack things. I will send the whole thing, you see, the luggage in a truck, small van. You go there, and there is a house that is now, Behram searched for a house, you know, Baba's brother. He searched for a house, which is now Bindra house, that house, same house where they. So just for 15 days be there and I'll call you back. Just for the fancy of my mother, you see, just pacify her, comfort her, it's for her. And don't unpack the luggage, keep it packed there. Now look at the Godman, how tricky he is, like Krishna, you see. He tells my father that now, on the other hand, you see, he tells my father, now, see, my mother wants Guy to be there. And what, I have sent Guy there, and my mother is not going to last for long. And even if she were to last for long, her fancy won't last for long. So what happens is, you wanted Pune, so your wife and children will be in Pune now. Now, what you should do is make them comfortable, see that they are comfortable there. So he sends my father also with me and my mother and my sister and brother. So we are all together now in the house. Now I have been given strict instructions not to unpack things, you see. So we used to sleep on the floor, we used not to unpack things, you see, and we call for food from somewhere or make some little thing, you see, unpack all the things we shouldn't, just the things that are necessary. And my mother would be whole day with my Baba's mother and all that. And within 15 days, in the meantime, it so happened that one of the Zoroastrian community person died there. And my father, when there is a funeral, there is a special dress to be worn by Zoroastrian. So my father shouted at me, said, "What the hell are you doing? Why don't you unpack? I want to dress now for that occasion, you see. I can't go in this European style dress, you see. We must have a community dress for that." I said, "Father, there's no hurry to unpack. I'm so tired, you know. And in the meantime, Baba's of course, somehow or other, my father managed to go there, you see. But in the meantime, within 15 days of our stay there, I think, Baba's mother died, and the whole thing. Then Baba came, you see. I was at Mahabaleshwar. We were at Mahabaleshwar. Then I drove Baba. Baba wanted to attend. So Baba was brought there. And to the same house where Behram and Parin live now. Mother died there. So we were there for a day, just for an hour or half an hour there. Baba didn't attend the funeral or anything of the sort. Then what happened? That Baba came back. And then now my mother said, "Baba, now what's the sense? Should tell us what to do now, whether we should unpack and continue to stay there or come there. Mother is no more now." So Baba says, "You continue to stay there." So this is how we are staying there. And Bindra House became the central station. Every time Baba would be going there and coming and all that. It never once we felt that we were away from Baba or anything of the sort. It continued like that, you see. It became more or less a sort of Mehrabad or Mehrazad for the people. And they know how they used to go there, and sometimes 40 people would stay there, you see, at a time. And we had music concerts and this and that. Oh, terrible. We had to pitch tents there in that small compound and all sorts of things, you see. So we stayed there, and they continued to stay there, that's all. My father died there then.
Who did your father take Baba to be? Did your father take Baba to be?
In later years, yes, he took him to be the avatar, the God-man. In the beginning also, but he was an orthodox Zoroastrian. So he had believed, so my father was made clear in his mind by Baba saying that you may take me to be a stone, and Zoroaster, you are Zoroaster as the prophet. Whatever you bestow on Zoroaster would reach me because I am the one. So that was, everything was settled. So this is one part of the story. To follow him means not to follow him in the sense that, well, you have come, left the whole world and want to come to him because Baba has asked you to come, and you take pride in in telling others that, well, we had to come to Baba because Baba wanted us to follow him, leave all and follow him. But that didn't mean that we had to follow him in the sense that we followed ahead of him and he had to follow us in our footsteps. No, we had to be behind him, carry out all what he wanted us to do. Follow him did not mean that we had to just walk behind him, but carry out his behests, orders, commands. He may put us in a deserted place, you see, or our place may be in Timbuktu somewhere, you see. That also tantamounts to following him, as long as we follow his orders. Aren't you all following him if you obey his orders? He asks you all to do this and do that and not to do this and not to do that. You are following him too. Following him does not leave all and follow means what? It's not that you should leave all and just be with him by his side, holding his skirt. No. You may be wherever you are placed by him. If you obey him, if you do just the things that would please him, you are as much following him as any other who has lived with him. There's no doubt about that. Because you know, from my example, what it means to follow him, where we were thrown, you see, away from it. And so many times, any human patience would get exhausted, you see. But because he had held our hand, that is the thing. If we had gone there to hold his hand, and if he had placed us in this position, there was a chance, you see, of his having slipped from our grip. But when he has hold of our hand, that's all. We are quite safe. That's the difference. And it's a world of difference. Now this is confronting me in such a way that I feel as if I'm behind the bars.
Did Bob ever explain, did he he ever give any examples or explain at all what the meaning of holding on to his Dhamma was?
Oh, yes. Several times, you see, and the beautiful explanation that he has given is, what Baba meant and means for us all is that we should take him to be our comforter, our guide, our all-in-all, God in human form, and we are his creatures. What he wants us to do is to completely depend on him. If we depend on him, say, 75%, and we hold on to ourselves 25%, that's not depending on him. All what he wants us to depend on him completely, and the figure that he has given for it is holding on to his Dhamma. Means just like a child holds on to the skirt of his mother. When a child is taken to a fair, you see, a baby, when it has just begun to walk, you see, and the mother is so preoccupied with the whole thing, you see, and he would give the example of a child being taken by its mother to a fair, where there is a huge congregation, and there are many shops there, and many things, distracting things, you see, and attractive things. So there the child goes in that crowd, completely dependent upon the mother, the holding of the skirt, meaning that it depends upon the mother. Wherever the mother is, the child is safe, because as long as the child holds on to the skirt there, the grip is on the skirt, the child is bound to be where the mother is, and mother cannot get lost, because mother is after all mother, it's a grown-up person, you see. And child, by just holding on to the skirt, can even enjoy the sights. Being in the crowd, can just look here, there. Child need not concentrate on mother at all. The grip itself is enough to be with the mother, and mother means complete confidence, you see. Cannot get lost anywhere. So this is the figure that Baba has given, that just as a child totally depends upon his mother when he holds the skirt and feels himself so safe, even in that throng, you see, in that multitude, that it can even enjoy the sights, it can mingle with the crowd and not get lost itself. So if you can hold on to me, means if you just depend on me wholly and solely, under all conditions and circumstances, you will never get lost in the world, in spite of your being entranced, getting attracted, tantalized by the worldly things. You may get entangled in that, but you will never get lost if you remain completely dependent on me. That's the meaning of holding on to my Dhamma. You follow now? You ask me for some funny incidents having taken place during Baba's tour to the West. That which I remember is the thing that happened at the Rome airport. I forget whether it was in the first trip, that is 1956, or the last one in 1958. So in 1956, Donkin was not there? Oh, I see. Don was not there at the time, even with Nilu?
No, only one day took time.
Oh, I see. Then it must be 58 then. Definitely, because Don is the one who plays the part now. So what happened is, just before we arrived at airport, you see, Rome airport, Baba expressed his wish, calling Donkin to him, saying that, look, Don, all what he wanted, he said, at the airport in Rome, was some place to retire where there's no crowd, no noise, just a couple of hours, because there was that halt for about 3 or 4 hours there, you see. Three hours halt was there. So, well, Don told Baba that it could be easily fixed. And he went and told the crew, you see. So, message was sent, you see, a wireless message, and Don started his activity there. We got down at the Rome airport. There was the wheelchair ready for Baba, and, the person came who made Baba sit there at the wheelchair, and he just went away from us. I had to follow, I run behind Baba, you see. And he took us round, you see, here and there. It was impossible to get into the airport, so to say. It took us, I don't know which places, you see, that he took us. Such a long tour, you see, of the whole airport. And then eventually we came in contact with our people, you see, Don and Nariman, Adi, was it Nariman or Merji at the time? Nariman, Don, Nariman and Adi. Yeah, we were there and we were there. Well, somehow or other, you see, we were at a place where there was a restaurant, and Baba said that we should take either tea or coffee or have some sort of cold drinks. But while we were at the table, Baba said that he wanted to piddle. And I said, now, where would be the toilet rooms and all, and take Baba. Baba had just arrived, you see, after a long tour, with all the shaking there, the painful hip joint and all that. I looked around and there I saw four booths, you see, telephone booths at the place. So all of a sudden I got an idea. What harm is there if Baba's wheelchair is shoved in front of the booth, you see, just stands up and piddles there. And I always used to carry a glass for Baba, handy, something in which that he should piddle, you see. That's the usual thing we used to do on tours and all that. So Baba was taken there, you see, and Baba said, well, how will it be, a visit in order? I said, Baba, it's my responsibility, nothing happens. See, and I stood there, you see, as if chatting, and Baba is trying to phone or something like that, and everything was in perfect order, nothing was wrong, you see. So Baba piddled there in the glass and felt at ease. And then I brought Baba back to the table, which was very nearby, and then I cleaned the glass, you see. I disposed of the urine and cleaned the glass, and then again joined the company. In the meantime, Donkin was busy trying to fix a retiring room, you see, for Baba. When he fixed the retiring room, he came to Baba and said everything was ready and we had to go down somewhere. So there was an escort he had brought. And so he led us down. We told him that we had the wheelchair. He said, never mind. So he guided us and we got down to a veranda-like place, you see, at the airport. And we waited there and waited. And Baba said, well, time is flying and there is no... Where is the retiring room? He says, Baba, I have made arrangements, but where is it? Where is the retiring room? Why are we brought to the veranda for the retiring room? It's not a retiring room. Was there already there. The lounge is there. Everything is there. I wanted a quiet place. And we are made to stand here. In the meantime, what we hear is bells, you see, from a fire engine or something coming, you see, rushing towards us. And we find, you see, we get the sight of the ambulance coming, you see. And Baba says, why all this for us? Don does not himself know about these things. See what transpired. Don simply expressed his wish that a retiring room be arranged for Baba where there is not noise, because he is not feeling well, he is ill. So the doctors took him seriously and literally, you see, and they sent an ambulance, and two boys, you see, sturdy persons, Italians, come there and they speak in Italian and we say something, and before we could say something, you see, in our broken Italian or English or anything. Don knew Italian. And I said, sir, what are you doing? What are you doing? And they just made Baba sit there on the stretcher. They took out the stretcher from the ambulance, made him sit there. And then just one person put his hand on his Baba's chest and he was made to lie flat on the stretcher. And the two people, I said, what are you doing? He said, see. All that we could hear, I could follow was, C, and Nisi, and something. I said, Nisi, and they said, no, C. And before I could do anything, you see, Baba was shoved inside the ambulance, you see, the stretcher was put in. I jumped inside, and they rang the bell, and they left. Had I not jumped inside, you see, Baba would have been taken all alone. Don didn't come with us, nothing. I took the bold step to jump inside, you see. So then we were there. Baba says, what's all this? Time is flying. Where is the retiring room? Where have we come? Will we be able to go back in the plane? He just signaled like that. What is this? Is Don crazy or what? So I said, Baba, I have no idea, foggiest idea of where we are being taken and why all this to us. You just wanted some place in some room there. There are plenty of rooms there at the airport. Without even informing the authorities, we could have rested anywhere. We didn't know. So after a 10-minute drive, you see, we came to an old bombarded hospital in Rome, you see, somewhere, outskirts. And no sooner the ambulance arrived there, everything was arranged for Baba. No doubt about it. Don had made clear arrangements, you see. But he did not know what arrangements were made. He had just given instructions to certain person who does make all these arrangements. But he was not told what arrangements were made. So what arrangement was made was a room in a ward was kept ready for Baba. Doctor was ready, two nurses were kept ready, thinking that Baba was serious in health, you see, that he wanted some rest. Why? Because he was ill. So no sooner Baba was again put on the stretcher, he was taken inside and rolled on to the bed, you see. Baba could walk the distance, you see, but he was rolled on to from the stretcher onto the bed, and blanket was put over him and says, see, 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 and everything, something like that, I don't know, they murmured there, and I stood there, and Baba looked at me, and I looked at Baba, and comes in the doctor, you see, and two nurses, and doctor comes and opens the thing, said, doctor, there's nothing wrong, all what he wants is to be left alone. So, see, 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 doctor also said, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right, he said. And then he examined his chest and pulse, and the nurses, you see, the sister took, what do you call, the blood pressure, and all sorts of things, and open your mouth and your tongue, and the eyelids were examined, and all that, everything all right. I said, doctor, please tell all the sisters, he could understand a little English, please tell them to leave the patient all alone. What he wants is just complete rest, no disturbance. See, 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 see. And then we were there. Of course, no sooner the doctors left, and all, I shut the door, locked the door from inside, you see, so nobody can come inside. And then Baba could go to the toilet and wash his face and feel fresh and clean. And then he was made to sit there, and he sat and relaxed on the chair. And then again it was time. So Baba himself went to bed, put the blanket on, and remained as a patient there. And no sooner he did that, the doctor knocked at the door and he came in. How are you? All right. Said, all right. And then I asked him, doctor, when will the ambulance come? He says, see, see, don't worry, it will be all right. It will be. And then the ambulance came and we were again brought there. And that's how, hardly we could have half an hour time of relaxation with us. That's the funny incident that took place at Rome.